And thank you, choir and orchestra. I invite you to go to the middle of your Bible to Psalm 119. And while you're going there, I want to give you a little bit of good news. We exceeded our Lottie Moon Christmas offering goal. But I want you to know that we've been so blessed in December. We've added some money to it, and we're going to send the most we've ever sent to Lottie Moon in Lottie Moon season in the history of the church. We're going to be sending $30,000. Isn't that great? All right. I want to support our missionaries. And I want to share this before my message because it's being simulcast over to the dark side. The next thing I want to share with you is just God showing off. I always tell our staff that financially we need to be like Lexus. We need to have a December to remember. And, you know, we hit some headwinds last year financially. We paid off our debt, had a big celebration. I was advised that if you pay off your debt, people quit giving. Guess what? People quit giving. And our finances just went down, down, down. We were paying our bills. We were doing okay. But we were just not going to meet our budget. Our staff is so good to underspend our receipts. Well, I want to share something with you this morning that's so special. We have taken in for December 2023 the most the church has ever given in a single month in its over 170-year history. $200,000 is great receipts for the month of December. I did some research and went back to 2017, and this is just tithes. This is not talking about missions offerings or when we were in capital campaigns or anything like that. This is just tithes. 2017, we took in $279,000. Some people just got happy. And so I want you to know to date for 2023, we've taken in over $350,000 and we've met our budget. We want to give God a hand for that. And I thank you for letting God use you. Somebody said, have you been preaching on giving? Have you been pressuring people? I said, absolutely not. I said, I do that one time a year. And I said, the Holy Spirit can get more out of people than I can. Well, I want to talk about quickly here today, the new year and you. How many of you are old enough to remember Bible drill? Some of you remember Bible drill. You had to be able to find the books in your Bible quickly, had to memorize all the books in the Bible. Then you had memory verses and sword drills. And I know those of us who were scholars always said my favorite verse from all of that is John 11:35. And what is that? Jesus wept. Even the boys in middle school and high school could remember Jesus wept. And we like to say, and it's true, that is the shortest verse in the English language. But you know, our English Bible is translated from the Koine Greek. When you look at the Greek New Testament, Jesus wept is not actually the shortest verse in the Bible in the Greek language. In fact, when you turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians 5:16, you'll find 14 Greek letters in those words. And what is 1 Thessalonians 5:16? Simply says what? Rejoice always. And then I want you to know there's one that's shorter than that. Luke 20:30. The Greek text has only 12 letters, and the interpretation, and the second. It's talking about the poor woman who had married 7 brothers, and she died for obvious reasons. And back in those days, if your brother died, you had to marry his wife. My brothers had 4 wives and fixing to get married for a 5th time. I'm so glad we don't live under the law anymore. What I want you to see is this. When we look at that we rejoice always and Jesus wept. When you talk about Jesus wept, We're talking about mourning over something. We're talking about grieving. Talking about rejoicing always. That's praising the Lord. That's being excited. What I want you to see here as we walk through life's journey, sometimes we're going through grief and sorrow and rejoicing at the same time. We just don't know what God has in our pathway next. So we begin a new year, and I believe we look for a balance. We need to balance our faith, our family, our recreation, our profession, and our social life. And people like to make New Year's resolutions. That's fine. But Ted, the statistics are only 8% of people who make New Year's resolutions actually keep them. We face a new year, we encounter some unknowns. Will this be our last year before God takes us home? You say, well, Pastor, that's morbid. Well, think about this. Will this be the year that Jesus comes again? What's going to happen? What's in our path in the new year? We have no control over many factors. However, we may control whether or not it's the best year ever. Years ago, Delaney and I went to Athens, Greece. And if you go there on a low tourist day, you'd think the only people there are stone statues. There's one statue there whose name simply means opportunity. And here's what the statue looks like. The statue has hair, long hair on the front of the head of the statue. Looks like some of the people that go to church here. And then on the back, totally bald. Now you see that person can reach out and grab the hair on the front. But if they reach out in the back, there's nothingness. If you went by that person, you could grab the hair on their head on the front. But then if they ran by you and you grabbed for their hair, it would feel like it's been greased with Pam. That's the way every day is. We need to grab the opportunities of every day. Because when we reach for today, tomorrow, there's nothing for which we may grasp. The most important practice to recharge your life is reading your Bible. Christmas Eve is the last time I preached, and when I was saying Merry Christmas to some of the people going out by me, one little boy walked out and I told his mother Merry Christmas, and I said Merry Christmas to him, and he looked up at his mother. He said, does this mean we've got to start reading the Bible all over again in January? I thought, boy, he's going to like my sermon in the first Sunday in January. Listen, you pay someone for the use of weights when you sign up at the gym. Do you know more people sign up for a gym in January than any other month? And there's nothing wrong with belonging to a gym, but you realize what you're actually doing. You're paying somebody else for the use of their weights so you have an opportunity to lift something heavy. That's what it is. We need to take care of our bodies, but we need to make sure that we're not more concerned with our bodies than we are with our spiritual life. We want to take a financial inventory, but we better make sure the material's not more important than the spiritual. When we start the new year, we think about our diet and how we're going to do better this year and eat healthy. But listen, the most important thing that we do is make sure we get a daily diet of the Word of God. When you look at Psalm 119, it splits the middle of the Bible. There are over 170 verses in Psalm 119. You know what the theme of that whole psalm really is? It's about the importance of the Bible and getting the Bible into the life of the man and woman of God. So first of all, I want you to notice about focusing on your Bible. You know, one thing the Bible has in common with every other book that has ever been written, and here's the common thread. If you don't open it, it does you absolutely no good. Now listen carefully. You can have a treasure chest full of gold and silver, but that you don't ever open it and you don't ever use it, it's of absolutely no use to you. So look at Psalm 119 and look at verse 8. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. There are more Bibles in print around the world than there's ever been in the history of man. But that also means there are more unread Bibles that are in people's homes and places of business than there have ever been. There's so many people starving to death from spiritual malnutrition. These are treasure troves in God's Word. He calls us to do wonderful things. Now I want to challenge you with this thought. There's not a day in your life that you don't need to hear from God. We need to listen to God. We talk about being in the presence of God. Well, we know that the Holy Spirit indwells us so that we're never separated from God. He's always with us. But we talk about getting in the presence of God and worshiping God and hearing from God. We have to get ourselves into the Word of God. I'll tell you what a big deal it is. When God was setting up the requirements of a king that he ordained, listen what he commanded. Deuteronomy 17:18-19. Here's what he told the king. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of the law taken from that of the Levitical priest. It is to be with him, and he's to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees. So here's what he said. The king had to get a copy of the law, and he had to get parchment and a pen, and the king had to write out the entire law in his own handwriting and carry it with him everywhere he went and read it every day. Let me break that down to you in 21st century language. That's like requiring the President of the United States, which wouldn't be a bad idea, to in his own handwriting copy off on paper the Constitution of the United States, be required to carry that Constitution with him everywhere he goes, every day, and have to read it and absolutely obey the laws of the Constitution. Boy, that's a revolutionary idea. If a king, God's appointed king, is told that he's to have a copy of the law with him, what does that say to you and me as born-again believers? How much more powerful could we live our lives if we were equipped with the Word of God? The more I get into this, the more I learn about God's precepts, His principles, and His practices. And I want you to know that God will equip you to do more than you've ever thought you could do as you're are instructed by him and empowered by him through the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, you'll live a happier life as well. God will convict you of things you ought to do as you obey and you get into the Word. Christmas Eve, after I got through preaching here, I told Elaine we need to eat lunch quick. And I said, there's a lady in our church who had just had 10-hour surgery, 10 hours worth of surgery, and had gone home. I said, I know it's Christmas Eve. I said, but we need to get a takeout downtown and carry it to their house because I don't know if her husband knows how to cook. I know it's Christmas. Family's coming. We just need to drop in. And I said, then there's a friend of the church whose wife was on hospice. She was unconscious at the house, and the daughters and the sons and the in-laws were there with the husband. They were there just waiting on mom to go home to be with the Lord. I said, we're going to go by to see them. We're not going to sit down. We just go carry food over there. So I called one of the local restaurants, and I said, here's what I want. I want takeouts. And I said, I want this order in one bag, and I want that order in another bag. And when I got through, now listen, I did this on the phone. I did not do it online because I try to get lunch rates And if I do it online, by the time it goes through, we're into supper rates. You understand what I'm talking about? So I got this girl. I told her two times, I want you to put a tip on this. And I told her how much, and she said, thank you so much. You know how it is when you drive into the driving, you know, to go, and then you hit the number on your phone, and then the waitress comes out, and she's got two bags, and it's cold and damp, and I open the back of the SUV, and she said, we've got that in two bags. It's two different orders going to two different houses. I said, listen, I need all the receipts. I'm giving this away. And she put it in there, and then she kind of shunned me and went back into the restaurant. I thought, man, this is Christmas Eve. Like, Merry Christmas. 3 days later, I got out my receipts. And guess what happened? The girl that I talked to on the phone forgot to include the tip on the order. You know what the Lord convicted me to do? The right thing. I went back to the restaurant 3 days later. And I said, I'm going to be the strangest customer you've seen today. And so when I told them what I needed, they said, the girl that manages our to-go is here. She was working Christmas Eve. She walked out to the counter and looked at me and said, sir, I remember you. Oh, yeah, I think you ought to. And she said, we put your order in two different bags because it was going two different places. I said, well, let me tell you something else that happened. I said, I left a nice tip by phone, but the girl did not charge it off. I have come to tip your waitress. She said, you're kidding. I said, nope. I said, well, here's her name right here. She said, she's not here today. Let me get an envelope. And she said, you give me the tip and I'll make sure she gets it. And I want to thank you. So I want you to know, if a waitress is really ugly to you, you thought you tipped, but you really didn't. But you listen, the Word of God will convict you to do the right thing. Waitresses work hard. They don't get paid anything hardly. And those tips are so important. Listen, we need to be into the Word of God, and He will convict us on how we ought to obey Him. And as we obey Him, we bring honor and glory to His name. A lot of you like to watch Jeopardy. Jeopardy just comes and makes me feel like a bad chick. It makes me feel a little nervous. Well, I want you to know, if you were watching on June 13th of 2023, there were three contestants on Jeopardy. One of them was an engineer, one was a physics grad student, and the other was a nonprofit fundraiser. The $200 window had this. And they were the question that they had to give would win the $200. Matthew 6:9 says, our Father who art in heaven, blank be thy name. And guess what? Not one of the three contestants, highly educated, knew to say, what is the word hallowed? And we talk about hallowed, we're talking about Christianity's most familiar prayer in Matthew 6:9, which calls for us to have a deep reverence for Almighty God, but it garnered nothing but blank stares from three highly educated contestants. We need to know the word. The second thing I want you to write down is food from the Bible for your soul. When you quit learning, you quit living. There are always new truths to learn, but that you'll never know it all unless you get in the Word. Psalm 119, verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. One of the reasons why we need to always be continuously learning from God's Word, because it is truth and it is always true. We find God's lessons are here. How to be a good husband, a good wife, how to be an obedient child, how to be a good parent, how to manage your money, how to use your spiritual gifts, and on and on and on it goes. These truths have been proved for over 2,000 years, and they'll be true throughout all eternity. Now listen to what the psalmist says in verse 33 of Psalm 119. He says, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow them to the end." Now, what does he mean by follow it to the end? He meant until the end of life. You know, I found that the older you get, the more you think about dying. And the closer you are to the Lord, the less you fear that. You know, we like to say this. We like to say that life is like a long rope. And when you begin, you're at one end of the rope. But as the years go by quickly, you see that the rope is getting shorter. Isn't that right, Miriam? And as it gets shorter and shorter, you get down here and you're near the what? The end of the rope. And if I happen to get to the point where I'm lying on a bed and the doctor and the nurse comes in and says, "This is it," I'm glad to hear what they have to say. But the next thing I want to hear is a word from the Bible. Read me some more of those assurance passages. Read me some more out of the book of Revelation so I'll study a little more ahead about what I'm about to see in heaven. You see, I want a word from God about the God that I'm about to meet. You know, prior to COVID pandemic, the average supermarket carried 33,000 items. Car manufacturers from around the world, listen to this, they had 605,000 configurations of automobiles. But when we hit that pandemic, what did we have? We had the supply chain interruption. And then we found out that the grocery store didn't have some of the basics things that we needed. And then the car dealers and the manufacturers found out they didn't have the supplies to make up 605,000 different configurations. That doesn't count the different paint colors that they had. And here's what one man said: "We've become addicted to endless varieties. But that changed as supply chain issues disrupted normal commerce and Americans adapted. In fact, consumers found greater contentment in fewer choices." One Wall Street Journal editor wrote this: "The lesson that many companies are drawing from not being able to please everybody in the pandemic is that maybe they didn't need to try so hard in the first place." And churches need to take note of this. We need to focus on biblical purposes rather than culturally driven practices. Listen, I have been praying that this will be the greatest year of soul winning this church has ever known. Do you know that every 2 seconds, not only counting the United States, but around the world, every 2 seconds, a person dies without Christ? Does that bother you? Disturbs me. We need to be sharing our faith. That's another reason I'm bringing in Mark Richt, not because we can get Mark Richt. He's a soul winner. He did services like we're going to have in March in Columbia County, and about 8 weeks ago, and 100 people in 2 services came to know Jesus as Savior and as Lord. We've got to get the word out there to lost people. Now listen, if you don't eat, your body's going to starve. It's even more true of your spirit and your soul, because Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." I've read that many times, and I finally saw exactly what Jesus said. He literally says you can physically survive on physical food alone, but you cannot truly live apart from feeding on the Word of God. And the other thing I want you to write down, this is so important, and it's just not happening among Christian people in the majorities, and certainly not among lost people. We need to form our lives after the Bible. You can't just look at the Bible. You got to learn from the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. You can love the Bible. You can listen to the Bible. You can look at your Bible. But it's not going to change your life until you start living out the principles of the Word of God. We can come in here and I can preach a message on honesty. And you leave this place and you say, well, man, that's one thing I can do in the power of the Lord. I can be honest. My word can be good and I can be honest with other people. And here's what you do. You go out in the parking lot and you back into my SUV. You do $2,500 damage to the rear end SUV. But guess what? You didn't stop to tell me you hit my SUV. You didn't leave a note with your name and your phone number in the windshield wipers of my SUV so I would know who did the $2,500 damage. Yet you were here and we talked about being honest. You decided that that's what one thing you could do, and you went out here and damaged my car, and you're not even going to bother to pay for it. And you're sitting there being so pious, say, you're to forgive those who sin against you, Pastor. Guess what? We have security cameras here. And when you backed in my car, we saw your car, your license plate, and you. And guess what? You're busted. And so we read the Word of God, and we're convicted to do certain things, and we go out here and disobey God. Guess what? God is what? Omnipresent. Holy Spirit lives within us. Even though we're saved, we're going before the judgment seat of Christ about our works and about the way we lived our lives. Our salvation is settled at the cross, and when we accept Jesus Christ and we're born again. But I want you to know, every single thought, word, and deed is being examined every day by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've got to learn to live the Word of God. James said in James 1:22, do not merely listen to the Word and deceive yourselves, do what it says. Too often we want to claim the promises of the Bible and enjoy the blessings and the comfort, but we just don't want to obey God. The word listen in the Latin means to audit. Now, not many people do this anymore, but when I was in college, you could actually audit a course. What does that mean? You could pay for the course. You went for the classes. You listened to the teacher. You didn't do any homework. You didn't take any of the tests. You didn't get a grade. And you didn't get any credit. And guess what? You didn't learn anything either. Because all you were doing is showing up when you wanted to, and selectively you were listening to the professor, so all you were doing was just auditing the class. The same thing is true spiritually. It's one thing to look at the Bible. It's one thing to learn from the Bible, but you don't get credit for that. You got to put it into practice. You have to learn to obey it. And that's why we should really be honest with ourselves and ask this question. What is the final say in my life when I'm making decisions? Is it Hollywood? You know, I understand they had a writer's strike in Hollywood that went on for quite some time. It didn't affect my world. Did it bother you? I just don't watch much television. Garbage in, garbage out. Let me ask you this. Are you going to make your decision based on what people say on social media and what they're doing with their lives? You go on TikTok, there's some people doing some crazy things on TikTok. Is that the way you make your decisions? Or are you going to listen to the politicians? Will that help you make your decisions in life? Listen, the place you base your decisions upon is the Word of God, and you'll never go wrong. I'm going to ask all of you, listen to me carefully. That little child that said, oh no, we got to read the Bible again. I want to cut a deal with him too. Listen, I'm going to ask that we unite together this next year to read through the New Testament. You say, now, Pastor, you're compromising here. We need to read through the whole Bible. No, I'm going to start you off easy. Let's just read through the New Testament. Now, here's the plan. You can read through the entire New Testament, if you're an average reader, which I'm just an average reader, in 18 hours and 40 minutes. Here's what I'm asking you to do. 7 days a week, if you'll read the New Testament for 3 minutes, you'll be finished by the end of the year. But I know I'm dealing with a Baptist congregation. Let me cut you another deal. Listen to this. If Monday through Friday, instead of reading 3 minutes, you'll read 5 minutes a day, you get to take the weekend off. And by the end of the year, you would have read the whole New Testament. I want to ask God to help us in the new year to live out the New Testament and see what a difference God makes in our life and see how different your life will be lived. I read the other day, and I think this is true. There's a group called the Right to Bear Arts Gala. And you know, most of the arts in our nation, and they're also subsidized by our tax money. It's pretty filthy. But here's what Henry McCord said. The arts are the most powerful and effective change agent known to mankind. Our culture has proved positive that the arts are powerful. But here's what else I know. Scripture and history confirm that Jesus Christ is the preeminent transformer of lives. He trumps the arts. I was reading the other day about a pastor. He goes by the name John. That's not his real name. He's serving underground in the Middle East, surrounded by Muslims. He said that he was conducting a service one time. Now understand, part of his resume right now, he's been beaten and almost killed several times in the Middle East, but he was conducting a service over there one time, and he said, there's a man sitting on the front row. And he said, I felt compelled to, during my sermon, just to stop and walk down the front row and just put my hand on his shoulders and pray for him. He said, he just looked like he was under such conviction. And he said, as soon as I placed my hands on his shoulders, I recognized that he was wearing a suicide vest with a bomb. And so he said, I just prayed over him. And he said, then I walked away from him and went back up to the pulpit and started preaching. He said, the suicide bomb didn't go off. He said, it would have killed all of us in the worship center. He said, when I gave the invitation, he came forward and he said, I've been so touched by the people here in the love of Christ. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Pastor John went on to say, we have a discipleship goal in our church. We are preparing people for Golgotha, not the beach. Did you hear what he said? To take up our cross and follow Christ, not ease, comfort, pleasure, and casual Christianity. Regardless of where we live, whether it's in the Middle East undercover or living in Silver Creek in Rome, Georgia, our objective should be the same. Your Bible will prepare you to stand for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this year. Think about what I said. It might be this year that we're taken up to be in the physical presence of the Lord. And after that, we're going to give an account. Would you stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. And very simple message. We know we ought to be reading our Bible. We ought to have a desire. And we know that the difference between eating food and digesting the Word of God is this. If we don't finally eat, we're going to starve, so we'll finally eat. But if we don't read our Bible, we get further and further away from it, and we lose our appetite. And we are not listening and learning from your love letter for us. Help us to be people of the Bible this year at Pleasant Valley South. Empower us to be soul winners. We pray as we sow the seed that we'd be allowed to see a harvest. And Lord, I pray that we will make our decisions based on the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the principles in your word, because we know that's the only way we're going to live lives to bring honor and glory to you. If you're here today and never trusted Jesus as your Savior, just know that Jesus came and lived a perfect life, died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for your salvation and mine, rose again the third day. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls on his name, repents of your sin, invites him in your heart, shall be saved. Would you do that? Some of you already been saved, need to be a candidate for baptism and church membership. We invite you to come. Some of you have been our guests for quite some time. You've prayed about it. God's given you peace. Pleasant Valley South is the place he wants you to plant your spiritual gifts. Lord, we want to thank you in advance for public and private decisions that are about to be made. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Eric and Richard are over in the Family Life Center. Praise band's coming forward. If you're uncomfortable coming forward during the time of intercession, they will be at the Connect desk after the service. If you're uncomfortable coming forward with Ted and I standing here, meet us at the Welcome Center desk after the service. Mark's going to lead us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.